Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. I am Jen Halterman, your hostess for today, and I'm excited to be with you to have a part two of this conversation that began on yesterday's show, but if you missed yesterday's show, that's okay. I got you covered. Kind of opened a can of worms about the repeat cycle of inner work and how so many people feel frustrated, like they're trapped in it, like they can never get free from it. And the conversations that I have had with people about this topic and what followed yesterday's show have truly been heartwarming, inspiring, a little heartbreak also. And so in all fairness, I wanted to come back and I want to readdress this topic and talk some more about it to answer some of the questions that I had, because there were plenty. And to address some of the messages I got, I do have Facebook open. If you're a friend on Facebook, I would love to have you send me a message if you're unable to be in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. Also, the phone lines are open if you want to listen there. And if you want to speak to me, you can press 1 as long as it's a contribution to the topic or a question that applies to the topic. I'd love to have you call in and contribute to the show that way. And the number to call in is 646-200-0825, and I welcome your contribution there. And so I want to get back into yesterday's topic and how it unfolded, because truthfully it unfolded beyond, you know, my imagination of what the outline of the show was or the concept that I was considering bringing to the air. And on yesterday's show, I used a couple of metaphors. I used the metaphor of my son fishing. It's a true story, so it's more than a metaphor. But I also used the true story of my daughter trying to learn how to do counter-cross stitch and then changing and learning how to do crochet. And both of these stories are real-life events. And it is, and the stories are about doing an activity that is about being enjoyable, and what they struggled with, each of them in their own way, were the knots in the thread and the line of the activity they were doing. My son with the fishing line, my daughter with the thread, and the amount of frustration that they felt and the different ways that they each dealt with that. Now, I don't want to dwell too much on those stories because you can go back to show number 084, which is part one of this, or 083, sorry, and listen to that, and you'll get the whole story. So, how it was a metaphor was I related it to inner work, and inner work is wonderful. Quite honestly, I think it saved my life in more than ways that I probably have a comprehension of. And inner work is the field I work in. I love inner work, and the truth is, there is a culture, and there are a number of different ways that this happens. It's not just one, but there is a mentality of getting stuck. There is a dynamic where so many people feel that they deal with an issue, and it keeps coming around and coming around and coming around and coming around. Now, this is normal in the inner work world. A lot of people refer to it as peeling the onion. You take care of one layer, but there's another one, and it doesn't bother you even. You're not even aware of it until it starts to cause problems in your life. And so that, to me, is not the problem. And one of the things that one of the listeners asked in a follow-up conversation to the show was, if, because in the stories that I gave, one of the examples was cutting the line, cutting the knot out of the situation so that you could start fresh. And another example is learning to untie the knot, learning to literally untie the knot and then being able to thread a needle and go back through. So neither of those are the wrong answer. Neither of those are bad. In the inner work world, those are what I call life skills. Skills that help you in life situations to deal with what comes up. It doesn't matter if it's a great day or a crappy day. It doesn't matter if it's a completion of a wonderful project or catching a fish or you know, healing an old wound. It doesn't matter to me what the deal is. It's a skill that helps you in that part of whatever it is you're experiencing. And I love those skills. I live those skills. I teach those skills all the time. All the time. That's what this show is based on. This show is, and Everyday Joy, my previous show, were all about teaching skills to help people that they could apply to their lives, try it out, do an experiment, see if it worked for them. If not, try something else out. To have go-tos to better their life. It's like a new kitchen gadget. You know, you get a new kitchen gadget, and it's the best thing in the world. It's wonderful. 15 years later, though, you might go, well, yeah, I'm kind of used to that. And now I need a different kitchen gadget. I need a different level. I need an advanced level of that. Why? Because that gadget got you to the next level. That life skill got you to the next level. And what it did was uncover that there's something more that you could use assistance with. That's all it is. This is why, for me, for my heart, I want to be really intentional that I express, and hopefully you'll receive, that these skills are not bad. None of them are bad. They're great. Knowing how to untie a knot and rethread a needle is necessary for counter cross stitch. Knowing how to untangle your fishing line from a bush or tree nearby that it got tangled up in, or seaweed or whatever it is, or shrubs in the water, and knowing how to cut the line and be done with it and let it go is a really good skill to have if you're fishing. So it's not about them being bad. It's about knowing which tool to use when, and the only way you know that, I understand you can go to a coach, you can go to a healer, they can give you the tool for the situation you're in, but the only way that you know what to do with that is by using it. Using it and practicing it and getting to know it so well that when a struggle comes up, when a situation arises that you say, uh-oh, I need some help, you know the go-tos. You know the go-tos. One of the repeat cycles that I see in inner work that is a little, and I'm not going to lie, it's a pet peeve of mine. It's why I don't do too many psychic readings on the air. I'll do card readings over on Periscope, but I used to do psychic readings on the air, and the reason I don't is, quite honestly, people would call in, having no clue how many psychics they'd called, but they would call in week after week, month after month, asking the same damn question. Now, whether it's a game to them, I don't really care, but this isn't Psychic Shopping Network here, and I don't want to play that game. So that's not what my service is about. So when it would happen, I'd be like, no, nope, no, all right, moving on. And so I quit doing that. I changed how I was showing up so that I wouldn't have to keep experiencing that cycle. Because when it comes to people who go to somebody for an answer, if that answer doesn't come with instructions on how that person finds their own answer, that person that gave the answer suddenly becomes the go-to for all the answers. Does that make any sense? I think it did. I think it came out right. I don't want to be the fortune teller that tells you every single time that you go to buy milk, if you should buy almond milk or dairy milk or, you know, coconut milk. I'm not interested in that. But I am totally willing to teach you a skill so that you can ask yourself what's true for you. So you check in with your body and ask your body, what does it want? So that you know if you want to buy almond milk or coconut milk or milk from a cow or whatever. Okay? That's the difference. That's the gift right there. And so when I say that there's a cycle, that's one of the cycles that really is annoying to me. It is, I'm not in the business of teaching the same thing over and over to the same person. That's not where my business thrives. And so that's where I actually put my foot down when it comes to client work and say, are you interested in learning how to create your life, or are you just shopping for a quick fix person to go to when you have a problem? Because if you want a quick fix person, there are tons of coaches out there who are fabulous about it. It's wonderful, no problem. But if you want, if you're committed to doing your work, if you want to know the skills and you want to put them on board and you want to practice them and live them, and you want a continued support as you advance in the levels of skills that you are practicing and the new awarenesses that come from them and the feedback that you receive from them that open you up to new possibilities, I'm your gal. Because I am committed to helping people move forward. I don't want to be a contribution to somebody staying stuck or on a repeat cycle. And I don't want people to suck either. That was an awesome Freudian slip. That was so good. So when I talk about this, oh gosh, when I talk about this and I hear from people like so many of you, thank you for your messages. I want to take a moment to really acknowledge you and say thank you for sending me the message on Facebook, or messages, or plural, for the emails, for the contact or blog talk. You know, there's so many people that listen and go away. There are a lot of people who listen to a show, consume the content and leave, and don't really say thank you. They don't say boo. They don't say you suck. They don't say anything. And that's fine. It's part of doing a public show, right? That's just part of it. But those of you who take the time to say, I listened to your show today, it was confusing. Or I listened to your show today, holy crap, you cracked me wide open. I listened to your show today, I'm really raw and tender, I could use some support. I listened to the show today, I feel like I could throw up. What is one thing I can do? Any of those messages, the people that take the time to do that, you're my feedback. You are the ones that I pay attention and go, okay, there's some feedback. Is what I'm offering able to be understood? Is what I'm offering serving? Did I leave people hanging? Is there further conversation? For example, a part two to this conversation, like today. You're my feedback. You let me know that you received the message. And if you need support, some of you are even bold enough to ask for it. And you keep me on the air, quite honestly, because if I just was talking to nobody, I could very easily not pay Blog Talk Radio to talk to an empty, you know, network. I don't have to pay them to do that. I could do that on my phone and email it to myself if I just want to talk to nobody. But from my heart, this show is kind of the pay it forward of what I received when I needed a lifeline. And so I wanted to take this minute to say thank you. Thank you for being brave enough to start clicking on your phone or your keypad to send me a message. I read every one of them, and every one of them is feedback, and I consider it carefully. So thank you so much for taking that time. And no, you're not wasting my time by sending me your message, even if you feel like you're babbling and there's no point. I think that is actually a very big act of courage to send a message and say, I don't know what's about to come out of me, but I feel like I need to type this up, and I hope it's okay that I send it to you. My answer to that is, hell yes, send it to me. Okay? So thank you for your bravery. Thank you for your courage. Because that's why there's a part two today. There is a part two. The biggest feedback I got yesterday from the show was, oh my gosh, I actually thought that I was going to find out if cutting the knot or untying the knot was going to be the right answer. And I disappointed some people when that wasn't the answer, when it was deeper. They disappointed some people when they said, hello, no, look at why the knot's being created. I disappointed because they wanted a quick answer, and I appreciate the guts to say so. Because the truth is, if you want to get out of the cycle of whatever it is that you're on repeat for, whether it's going to a psychic, whether it's going to a coach for the same thing, whether it's seeing a relationship coach because now your third version of the same person you're dating is the same individual, just different packaging, whatever that is, it's time that you stop looking outside of you. And it's time that you get really clear about what's going on inside of you and how you're creating the situation, how you are creating the knot, as the metaphor played out yesterday and now today. And I am going to share this. This is one of my favorite things. This is one of my favorite, I guess it's a metaphor, a little example of this relationship piece. And because apparently a few of you are dating the same people over and over, you're just changing their faces. And this is what a conversation had yesterday. And that is, you know, I started dating and I decided that I liked Fruit Loops. Okay. And so I really liked Fruit Loops, but then Fruit Loops decided it didn't like me. So Fruit Loops went away. And I thought that sucked and it hurt. So I went out to find a new kind of cereal. And I looked at all the boxes and I sampled a bunch of them at the store, and I finally picked up a box of Cheerios, thinking, hey, I like Cheerios. I'm going to try Cheerios. And I picked it out. So I pick up a box, awesome Cheerios cover on it. I take it home. I open up the bag inside. I dump it into my bowl. Guess what I find out? It's Fruit Loops. It's all Fruit Loops. So I go back to the store. I say, this is a problem. And the person says, oh, okay, let me help you pick out. So they recommend all these other things. They help me pick something out. Guess what I pick? Something totally unrelated, so I can't be confused. Totally different. I pick up a box that's Raisin Bran. It's in a different section of the cereal aisle. I should be good, right? I go home, I open the bag, I dump it in the bowl, Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops. I go back to the store, the same helpful person is like, what's going on? This person goes on all through the entire cereal aisle and starts saying, okay, so here's the deal. We're going to dissect every box before you even take it home. That way you'll know for sure you're not getting Fruit Loops. And they start ripping into the bags with me, happily, on the aisle. Look at me. I've got a buddy now. And every single bag we open is Fruit Loops. Every single bag. And this person says, oh, but this time, you know, shredded wheat for sure won't be Fruit Loops. No, they're even surprised when it's Fruit Loops. And then I say, this isn't working. I'm stuck in a cycle. I have to change something. And I leave the store. And outside of that experience, somebody sees my frustration and says, what's wrong? And I say, I don't understand what I'm doing. I just went into the store. I have opened every damn box of cereal, and every single one of them is Fruit Loops. I don't understand what's going on. And that person with a different perspective says, oh, did you look at where you were going? I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? And that person turns and brings my attention to the fact that the store sign says, everything in this space is Fruit Loops. And I become aware that I am the one who keeps walking into the Fruit Loop store thinking I'm going to get a different product. Now, that's a goofy-ass metaphor. But I got to tell you, sometimes you got to stop working with somebody who is committed to your perspective sometimes you find out you got to change who you're asking questions of, because they might be stuck in your perspective. And that really bothered some people yesterday. When you realize your go-to might be part of the problem, that can feel really frustrating. And when you've created a relationship with that person especially, and that person ends up, they're doing the best they can. They love you. They care. You might even have become friends. You know, now they're personally involved in your outcome. They want you to succeed. All of it. It doesn't make them wrong. It just means you might need a different perspective. And that different perspective might be, hey, guess what? You're shopping in the same place. Why? Because you are shopping in the same place. It's you, my dear. You. And that is why I think that the most important message I can share with you through this whole show is, when you do inner work, if you aren't willing to do the inner work that starts with, this is my inner work, so this means it's about me, if you're not willing to do that, you're not truly doing inner work. You're in crisis management. Okay? You have to get to that point. That's why the number one tool that I am going to tell you that you to put on board is get open to feedback. Start paying attention to the feedback. This just in from a message. Somebody says, quote, he was the exact opposite of my ex-husband, Satan, but now he is exactly the same. Yeah, same insides, different packaging. It doesn't matter how many times you change packaging. If you're not doing your work, you can change all. You can change everything, but if you don't realize you are the common denominator, and that healing and that accountability and getting the feedback of what it is that's going on must start with you, you are going to repeat the cycle. So the number one tool that I'm going to tell you is get really clear about the feedback. The feedback is, whoa, I keep picking Satan in a box of Cheerios. Oh my gosh, no matter what the box looks like, still Fruit Loops or Satan in that example. That's feedback, y'all. Guess what? You got to look at, why are you picking Satan as a husband? You got to look at that. Do you see that's where it starts? What in you keeps convincing you that you're not picking that person? What in you keeps thinking it's about that person? The next thing is, the very quick part of that is, you have a choice at that point. When you realize, I have been picking Fruit Loops. My God, I even went shopping in the Fruit Loops store thinking I was going to get Raisin Bran. You can either go to shame, I suck, I'm terrible at picking people, I don't know how to pick out a relationship, I don't know how to pick out a coach that's not going to spiritually abuse me and manipulate me into spending tens of thousands of dollars every year so that I can keep thinking they're the guru that I need to go to. I don't know how to do that. I suck. I'm doomed. I'm destined to fail. I'll always experience the same misery I'm experiencing. Poor, poor, pitiful me. That's one choice. You have other choices. But the one that I'm actually recommending is that you say, yep, I've been doing that. It's time I get accountable and you start looking at why. You see, a lot of people focus on how we did it. Oh, how did I do it? Well, I know how I picked all these, you know, asshats for husbands. I kept picking them up in bars. That's it. I'm going to go to the internet. That way I won't do it. I know how I kept failing in business. I kept going to the quick rich, quick schemes. I can't even say it. I kept going to the, this is awesome, get rich, quick schemes. So I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to choose the hard way because hard work pays off, right? That's totally different than quick. Okay, now I'm going to choose something really hard. I'm going to go get a degree. Okay? I know, as the how. Yeah, that's what it is. But I'm asking you to go deeper. I know. I'm so... I love you. I love you and all the damn it gems. But here's my invitation. Why are you picking that? Get curious about the why. Did you hear the why are you picking that? It's a question. It's a question about why. Huh, I'm curious. You see, if we go, why are you picking that? What happens? What happens the moment you say that? Why are you picking that? Shame comes up. That's why we don't go there. Instead, we say in the curiosity of, why did I pick that? Oh my gosh. Oh, when I did it my own way, I heard my dad's voice. I decided that my way sucks. I got to do it dad's way. Okay, I tried to do it dad's way. Yeah, when you realize all you're doing is cycling through, you know, a Russian roulette version of all the influences of your life. When you realize that, you get to stop the cycle. Why did I do that? Well, I thought it'd make my mom happy. Well, why did I do that? I thought it'd make Aunt Mildred happy. Why'd you do that? I was making Uncle Charlie happy. Where the hell are you on this list? You're the one choosing it. Why are you making their choices? Why did you choose that? Get to your why. Not with shame and curiosity. It sends it, you know, reeling into the poor, pitiful me dungeon of I suck. But get to the why of, well, why did I do that? I don't even know why I did that because I don't even like Fruit Loops. Why was I even shopping at the Fruit Loops? Oh, that's right. I thought Fruit Loops made more money. I know, total metaphors. But you know what? This is keeping it a lot lighter, isn't it? Why? That's where the deep work actually goes to. Why would you do that? Well, I did it because my coach told me to. Did it work? Not so much. Great. Did it work for somebody else? Well, yeah. You know, that coach told me they had lots of experiences where people were successful at that. Great, fabulous, awesome, good for them. It doesn't make them wrong because they were successful. It just means it doesn't work for you. It just means it doesn't work for you. That's all. I received an email this morning from a client that is a powerhouse. And every time that she makes a new transition into a new level of awareness, a new level of her own power and potency, she goes through a new fear gateway. And here's the change. Months ago, when that fear gateway would come up, she didn't have the skills on board to breathe and be conscious and choose her way through it. You see, because years before that, when she had fear gateways show up that were steps into expansion, she would have panic attacks and she would take pills because panic attacks, you didn't have to suffer with those. So take a pill, you'll be fine. She shared with me that she recently went on a trip, and when panic came up because she was flying through one of the most horrific storms in the area of late, she started panicking. And you know what she did this time? She did the breathing practice. The breathing practice that started out as a skill to help her go into a meditation and a clearing process. The breathing practice that helped her take pause before she went into judgment and interacted with somebody from a place of judgment. A breathing practice that helped her be in her body fully. And she did a breathing practice. And when she got off that plane, she was elated. She was ecstatic. She realized, I did it. That before would have had me, you know, panicking and freaking out on the plane and taking, you know, pills and, you know, all those things that can happen. But she had new tools available, so she'd been practicing them. So when she went into a fear gateway of the spiritual and metaphysical part, she had tools she trusted because they had helped her on a physical level. And so she went to the breathing, and it led her into more expansion and more awareness. You see, when you are doing deep transformational work that is about moving forward and expanding your life, those skills are only useful when you use them. They are only useful when you use them, when you apply them to your life. So, one of the other ways for you to get out of the repeat cycle of inner work is check your skills. Check your skills. Do you have a skill that you learned that applied to physical, for example, panic attacks, that you know physically when you need it, you use it, that just maybe could apply somewhere else? Have you put a skill in a box that you think only applies there? Because when you have these skills, like I said, I teach, at this point, thousands of skills, and it's not exaggerating. Different varieties, different applications. Why do you think I use metaphors? So you can figure out how it applies to your own situation, because I don't want to tell you. You know your situation. But when you have these skills and you reapply them, you tap into more possibilities. So where are you keeping yourself stuck by thinking, number one, it can't be you, it got to be them, because they're the ones that are doing everything wrong, that are screwing up your life, or I suck and I'm in shame because I got to the point where I went, oh, I am the common denominator, and now I've chosen into I suck, I'm going to stay here, I'm going to build a pity party, I'm going to get all the attention about it of I suck, I'm just going to keep digging up at that tunnel, this is my new place. Do you have skills that could get you out of there? I bet you do. And if not, send me a message. Send me a message. If you found the show, you can find a way to contact me. My website's on the show description. But jenhalterman.me or lightenupwithjen@gmail.com are great options. So where is it that you go to? Where is it that you feel that, ugh, I'm stuck in this one? You know, when we do our, quote, work, and we're doing our inner work, and we're getting accountable, we say, oh, I created this. The most amazing thing happens if we allow it, if we're truly in that space of curiosity. And that is this. You created it. You created the situation. Whether you kept shopping at the Fruit Loops store when you didn't like it, but it's where your family always shops, so it must have been the right place. Or whether you realize that you keep going to the same psychic who keeps telling you the same thing and it's always just out of reach. Or maybe you avoid making decisions in your life because you check in spiritually and your guides and angels tell you it's not time to make that decision just yet. Whatever it is, if you find yourself in an always doing this way, you have the opportunity to change it. by making a different choice, different action, different pathway. It is up to you. It doesn't mean that Fruit Loops are bad. Some people love them. Some people freaking love them. Doesn't mean they're bad. But if you don't like them, why are you doing that? What are you recreating? What are you choosing? You're choosing to re-subject yourself to what you don't like and what doesn't serve you. You get to make the choice as to what you're going to change. And if you need guidance, get some support. My invitation is, and I'm really passionate about this, but I'm going to say it calmly. Work with support that is more interested in your expansion and growth than being right. If your support insists that they have the answer so that they can be right, and even when things don't work for you, they insist, it works for everybody else, it's got to work for you. Or they go to, well, you're just not doing it right. You should light the candle with your left hand instead of your right hand. You're not working with somebody that's interested in what works for you. So be clear. Monday, I did a show. Which one was it? It had to have been 082, about the importance of the who you work with, and that they're not somebody who's going to stick you or trap you or keep you stuck, or that they're not going to use abuse to get you to do your work, that kind of thing. And I'm really specific about this. And there's a lot of reasons why. The truth is, anybody of power has the ability. If you give anybody more power than your yes or no, they have the ability to abuse you and take advantage of you, which is abuse. Take that in for a minute. This is what I just felt. Huh? Well, of course. Oh, who is thinking so loud? This is awesome. Okay. Let me say this another way. Okay, here's a metaphor for you. If you go to... Just breathe. If you want to learn how to drive, you want to work with somebody that has you in the driver's seat. If you want to learn to drive, you don't go to a driver's ed teacher that says, this is sweet, I love to drive, I will teach you how to drive. Get in the passenger seat, I'm going to drive. We're going to drive all over the freaking country. We're going to take back roads, we're going to take freeways, I'm going to take you on every road possible because I am the best damn driver there is. You'll see, by the time I'm done with you, you're going to be a great driver. And they never leave the driver's seat. They never put you in the power position of making the choice of if you're going to turn right or left, if you're going to take the freeway or take a country road. They never let you glance at the roadmap to see where the hell you want to go. That is not having you be powerful. That is not giving you the opportunity to create your experience. That is where you've got to be really watchful, really watchful, okay? You have to be the one in power. And this does mean, even with your spiritual stuff, you have to be able to say, I want to practice this. I might go really slow in a parking lot. I might be on a safe and close course at the beginning, but I'll move on when I'm ready. But you got to get in there. You have to be in that alignment with the coach, yes, thank you, that honors you rather than abuses you, okay? Because at some point, the truth is, at some point, you have to also move away from that person holds for you so that you can fly on your own. You don't see a baby bird on the back of the mother flying around, wings out, with the mom saying, see, you're flying. We're just going to do this forever. You're such a good flyer. Look at you. No. The birds even know that sometimes you got to kick the baby out of the nest so that it can go fly. At some point, you must get beyond that comfort zone. And yes, you need a coach. You need somebody that's going to push you, that's going to encourage you, that's going to have you, you know, really go beyond your comfort zone, go beyond where it is that you've been stuck. You are unique. And even if your coach is freaking awesome and so good at pushing you beyond where you're comfortable, you're unique from that coach. That's why I always encourage people to say, is a coach attached to your outcome, or does a coach want you to go as far beyond as you can? Because there is some juice in there for you. Are you in the power seat of your healing process? Oh, that actually makes me dizzy. Oh, ugh. And a little scared. I don't want to be in the power. I don't want to be in the powers. Okay, so here's a message. Here's one way to look at it. If you don't want to be in the power seat of your healing experience because you know you have messed it up so many times, then your work darn well better start with forgiving yourself so that you can get comfortable being powerful again and the creator of your life, because otherwise you will always play it safe and small and hide behind somebody else's decisions. Okay, so check in with that. Yeah, we make mistakes, so. But if that means that you are now committed to giving away your power, that's a problem. Okay? That's a problem. The other part of this is, if you go into, you got to know the difference as to when you are bugging out of your work because you want to do it on your own, and when you're doing it as a way to avoid getting to that place where your coach is about ready to sit in the passenger seat by your side and let you start driving, where they can still give you the prompts. They can still remind you of all the things that you can practice along the way while you practice driving. Because if you just sit in that passenger seat, okay, I listened. Oh, look at that. I heard all this stuff. I must know it. And you don't actually get in a practice situation where you're practicing until it becomes natural, and you instantly go, oh, gosh, I've watched you do that so many times. I can do it myself. No, you don't get to support me while I actually practice. This is me, you know, I'm going to do it on my own. Don't take that to an extreme of, now I'm going to fire my coach as soon as they tell me a concept. Yeah, black and white thinking, y'all. You get a little, it's hysterical to me, the contrast that you choose. Practice with the coach that's teaching you the skill. Practice it. Just so you know, it's a concept, and it's time for you to go out and live it. Just so you know, that usually takes an extended period of time, at least months, if not years, before you can truly say that you have all that learning in your bones and in your cells. So I do recommend that you have that support on hand as you go through the practicing thing, because you need that feedback, which is what coaching is about. It's giving you different perspectives. It's giving you different vantage points. Yes, I want my clients to outgrow the coaching that I offer them. Absolutely, I do. I want them to go on to bigger, better things. Do you know why? Because so am I. Honestly, teaching the drama triangle at this time, I used to teach it, and it was awesome, and it's great. And now when it comes up, I'm like, how many times have I said this in my lifetime? I think I'm going to make an audio program about it so that people can experience it that way, and then I can do questions and answers instead of reteaching it. Why? Because I'm beyond teaching that. I'm bored with it. I can only do so many metaphors with that, and I'm actually kind of tired of it. So, yeah, I teach it when I need to, and that's one of the programs I'm creating so that I can actually serve what's needed when it's needed. But I don't have to go back to it. Okay? Ha! I know. It's all convoluted now. Wait, are we supposed to? Here's the thing, and I have a question coming in, and I'm going to use you as an example, not because you're wrong or bad, but because you did it so perfectly. This is what I got in a question. Okay, so what's the, quote, right time, right period of time to work with a coach before I go out on my own? Raise your hands if you can see what the problem is. The problem is you want a definitive answer. The problem is you want me to tell you when that is. So you tell me, what's the right amount of time for you? Because I'm telling you, if you are in the shit pile right now, and if you tell me I'm going to be out of the shit pile in 6 months, you just set yourself up for a kick in the ass at 6 months and 5 days. I'm sorry. That's so true. I damn it, Jen myself yesterday, so I totally get it, okay? No, stop putting this timeline. Stop putting expectation. Oh, once I do this, then I'm going to be good. Look at the energy of that. Let's talk about this for a minute. Okay, so once I do this program, I'm going to make $1 million. Sure, the program's going to do it. How do you know? You don't know. Every single day is an opportunity to make new choices, and every single day you're getting new feedback. You're looking for the guarantee. There is no guarantee. You have to, I can't give you a guarantee. The only guarantee you have that you will actually complete whatever path you're on is if you don't quit. Don't quit. There's your guarantee. As long as you don't quit, you're for sure going to stay on this path. Okay? This isn't a black and white situation. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And here's what I'm going to talk about. It's way can of worms, but I'm going to bring it down. You are also unique. You are also unique. The situations, the training, the programs, the beliefs, the experiences that got you to where you are right now are so unique that if there were five of you telling your story, the number of experiences and life events and beliefs and family patterns and society and cultures you were raised in, if you each told every single facet that contributed to you getting here, and I'm only talking five of you doing it, we could listen to all of that, and it would last longer than 1 week's time, 24 hours a day, talking nonstop. So to say that there's a guarantee that one plan of, you know, six easy steps is going to fix all of you and the path you're on and get you to exactly where you want to be and guarantee you a guaranteed outcome is a lie. It's a lie. No, doing your inner work means that you're willing to learn skills so that when every single situation comes up in your life, you will have skills to keep you on track as you follow the path of what you want to create with your life. That's it. Whether you're wanting to create healing in your life or whether you're wanting to create $1 million in your life, it doesn't matter. This, yes, this belief of a guarantee, this belief of a six-step program is going to change everything. Okay, these 20 steps are going to get me my $1 million six-figure coaching practice. Okay, this thing, oh, this particular, if I light this particular candle on this particular date, that's going to guarantee that I'm going to suddenly be powerful and trust myself and have all that stuff. All of those things are sabotage. and it keeps you out of being open to and willing to engage with the feedback that comes for every single situation of your life. So how do you get out of the cycle of the inner work repeat cycle? You stay open to the feedback. And if the feedback says, well, you know, you keep turning left, that's how you became a NASCAR driver. And I don't know where the hell that metaphor, that example came from, but you're a riot. You keep turning left. Well, I'm really good at turning left. What can I do with the career that I turn left? Go join NASCAR. Ta-da! Congratulations, you have a career. If you don't like NASCAR, turn right. Turn right. Yeah, you might find yourself in the winner's circle, but you also might pick up a coin and flip a coin and turn right and left, and you might go straight for a while, and you might just go on a surprise destination. It's up to you what you create with it. I know. I'm on one. NASCAR, what the hell, Jim? I know. I don't even watch NASCAR anymore. I don't know. This is what happens when I follow the inspiration of what comes through. These skills, you know, you got to listen every single day. And thank you for the example of a garden. You know, you got to nurture a garden every day. You got to pull the weeds or it'll choke out the garden. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? If you were told by somebody that you have to water your flower garden every 3 days, no matter what, and you go into black and white thinking that you have to, and it's a you know, typhoon outside, and you're like, well, it's the third day, I got to go water my garden. If you don't have the wherewithal to say, that's a no, I'm pretty good. Yeah, the flowers are being watered themselves by Mother Nature. I don't have to water. Then you're good. You have the thought. You have the wherewithal. You have the awareness to say, yeah, don't need to water today. But if you're in the cycle of depending on others, you might have to check in with your guides if you should water the flowers. Or you might have to check in with your coach. Or you might have to call your psychic and say, well, I'm supposed to water every 3 days. Could you check in with the flowers and tell me if they need more water? Yeah, it's been raining for 12 hours in a downpour, but I'm not quite sure. I don't want to mess it up. Would you check in with Mother Nature if I need to water my flowers? Now, here's the thing. When I show you how ridiculous that question is, a lot of people go, oh, that is ridiculous. Oh, that's just ridiculous. Of course you wouldn't do that. But how many of you do it when you start dating a new person? How many of you do it when you go to pick out a new place to live? How many of you do it when a new opportunity comes up? Because you don't know how to listen to yourself. You don't know when your soul is saying, yeah. You don't trust yourself. Because instead of going to them for the answers, go to them and say, hey, guess what? I don't know how to trust myself. Can you help me learn how to trust myself? Instead of saying, hey, I've got, you know, a new apartment to pick out. Could you tell me what to decide? That's the difference, people. That's the difference right there. Stop going for crisis management. Get some tools on board that help you deal with all the crisis in your life, yes. But stop making your inner work about the crisis. Instead, start making it about, how in the hell do I keep creating a crisis? Let's look at that. What in me loves a crisis? What in me gets fed by the crisis? And what am I avoiding by creating crisis so that I don't have to do it? That's where the juice is. That's what I'm inviting you to look at. Did you feel that? Oh, you got it. Some light bulbs went on. Oh, that's why some of you kept wanting me to go back to what was right or wrong and what should I do and what's the next step. Can you give me three steps, three skills I should practice? No. No, I'm not going to tell you the three steps to deal with the knot in your life called a crisis. But I will have a conversation with you about why are you creating crisis? How are you creating crisis? And if you weren't dealing with crisis, what would you be doing with your life? Because that, my friends, that's where I want to have a conversation with you about your life. That's where the juice is. That's where you're the powerful creator. that's where it starts being about you instead of about them and it. Do you feel the switch in the focus? Because that's why part two of these shows had to come up. Get an outside perspective, yes. Get some support on board, yes. If you're in crisis, know that you need crisis support. If you're beyond that, know that you need to make damn sure that that person wants you to be the powerhouse of your life. And that everything you're learning is about having you be the decision maker. You be the driver. You be the navigator. You are the one. That's where the gift is. They can support you. They can. I do it. I send clearings to my clients. Absolutely. Let's clear the energy. I also give them the skills so that they can practice and put things into place and they can get really comfortable with it. And you know what? I also always have them be the driver. Always. I have no idea what we're going to talk about before a session. You show up. You bring everything that's going to contribute to that. Sometimes I might be like, well, I drew this out. I don't know what this is about. And then a client comes in, sits down and says, this has been on my mind. I'm like, does this apply to it? I drew it earlier and I wasn't quite sure why we were going to talk about this, but it felt like it was up. So here it is. Let's dive in. You are the power spot. You are the top of the list. You are the core. You are the program. It's your inner work, not the idea or the special niche of your coach. And it's not your spirit guides and angels program either, by the way, just so you know. They support you, so you be the one. Learn what your yeses and nos are. Let them be a support to you. But you better know what your yeses and nos are. Don't live on a whim. Be the creator. Follow the energy, yes. But everything in your life is supporting you. Down to the weather, down to Mother Nature, to you, the people that show up in your life, your guides, your spirit, angel connection, your faith, your religion, you know, your hobbies. Everything is in your life to support what you're creating. And if you're creating a bunch of crap, you got to look at what you've got on board. You got to look at why you're creating it. You got to look at how you're creating it. You got to look at what you have in place to support you creating it. You have to make those changes. Nobody else can. You can go to AA meetings every single day, twice a day, and if you don't stop putting the bottle to your lips, you're still going to have the alcohol in your system. It's time you do your work. It's time you deal with the core. And you can start with baby steps. This is not about overnight. This isn't magic. Yeah, magic can come. But what you create with stuff is up to you. Practicing it, getting accountable is up to you. Thanks for joining me for this part two. Thank you for the messages. I appreciate that you were here. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's cranial sacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. Bodywise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.